Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's episode of Pit Panther Rants and Other Sportsman's Podcast is brought to you by The Sports Drink, your digital watercolor. It's a newly created internet community tries to find the intersection of sports and non-sports. They're here to help us grow and hate your favorite team. A rising tide lifts all boats, so go check them out online or on social. Go to sportsdrink.org, open Instagram, and you can type in at sportsdrink. You know, it's sportsdrink without the vowels. All we ask is to close the door behind you. We're trying not to let the funk out. Welcome into a Pit Panther Rants, another Sports Rants podcast. Vlad Harris, your host, brought to you by The Sports Drink, of course. And, Yes, on Saturday, your Pitt Panthers were victorious. They defeated Western Michigan 34-13. And it was, the whole thing was interesting. I mean, going into the, well, first of all, according to Pat Narduzzi, this game was personal for Pitt. Which, kind of irritated the hell out of me, mainly because, you know, this team last year lost two winnable games, and that's something they should really take in personal. So, I mean, you've already lost to Tennessee. You're barely hanging on the polls. So, I just don't see why this game would be so personal now. But that's just me being a cynical, negative Nancy, I guess you can say. But at the end of the day, whatever works for Pat Narduzzi and Pitt. And also, we had a change of quarterback. It was a game-time decision, as you all know. Pitt opted for Nate Yarnell. So, we got to see nasty Nate play. And, you know, he was 9 of 12, 179 yards. One touchdown, zero picks, a 3.8 QB rating. Not too bad. On the side of Western Michigan, this was supposed to be some sort of revenge game for Jack Salapek, because supposedly he was looking to commit to Pitt, but then Pitt changed coordinators. They went from Sean Watson to Mark Whipple, which, you know, I guess seeing how Jack played, I guess that was a good thing. Jack was 6 of 18 for 99 yards, 8.3 QB rating. He had three picks, whereas I guess receiver Anthony Sambucci, you know, one of these days I'm going to figure out this whole ESPN autoplay crap. He had one. He was 1-of-1 for 31 yards and a touchdown and no picks. I don't know. Maybe Western Michigan should have put the wide receiver at quarterback, because Jack looked pretty bad. And, of course, you know, the Pitt defense really jacked them up. You know, what is that? What was it? CSI Miami, where Horatio puts on his glasses. You know, I guess you could say he was jacked up, and they go, "Yeah!" You know, like on, what was it? Yeah, well, what song was it? The Who, I guess? Well, let's find that. Ah, yes, David Caruso. Drive by Miami style. Let's see here. Hold on. Oh, let's try this.
Drive by Miami style. I don't think so. You don't spend $1,000 on clothes that you're never going to wear.
100 people throwing golf balls at the site of a death.
Those odds are very slim, aren't they? So the question becomes, Alex, was the mob sent to draw us to the crime scene? Or sent to destroy it?
More deliberations?
No need now. The verdict is in.
Speaking of that, what did we have? We had CSI Miami, we had CSI New York. CSI New York had the guy who played Lieutenant Dan. Who was that? And of course, he has a band too as well. Let's see, who was that? Ah, yes, Mac Taylor. It was played by Gary Sinise. That was the guy. Then he had Stella, which was played by Point Park's own Melina Kankaritis. Melina actually, when I graduated Point Park in 2002, she actually spoke at her commencement. You know, it was funny because we were all like, all the IT business people were there, and people really didn't acknowledge the whole IT business part of, it was all about the acting and whatever not. Yeah, what other ones were there? CSIs. I know the two big ones, Miami and New York. When did they stop making those? I think it was after, it was 2013, 2014, because they stopped. Because you had those two. You had NCIS. There was NCIS Los Angeles, I remember. Looks like that's still going on. Yeah, it goes to show, how much I pay attention. Hawaii 5-0 went on for 10 years. I'm surprised that lasted 10 years, to be honest with you. I wasn't really into it. I remember there was a hospital show called Three Rivers that was supposed to be the next best thing after, there was Private Practice, there was Scrubs, ER. I'm sure there's one I'm forgetting about that everybody knows about. Oh, Grey's Anatomy, yeah. I think there was a girl I dated at one time that, Grey's Anatomy was supposed to, if Grey's Anatomy was on, I couldn't bother her. You know, I couldn't go on a date with her, nothing. You know, she had to watch ER. Oh, we can't forget Criminal Minds. And what was funny was I was looking at some of these, because I was looking for the guy who played in Criminal Minds, but I knew he played in Airheads. And I'm looking at the cast of Airheads. I mean, first of all, you got Brendan Fraser, you got Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley. Judd Nelson played Jimmy Wing? I didn't realize that was Judd Nelson, but the way he looks, of course, you know, he was also in New Jack City as well. So I can see Ernie Hudson, the guy who was in Ghostbusters, he was in it. The guy plays Milo. Michael McKean was in a bunch of stuff. I mean, there was a whole... I mean, Dave Arquette was in this. The guy who played Ian from, the radio station. Joe Mantegna, the guy who, he was in Criminal Minds. There was a whole... there was a cast of characters in this. I went from Talking Pit, Western Michigan, to David Arquette, or what's his face? David Crusoe quotes in CSI Miami, the cop shows, to talking about the cast of Airheads. It's pretty much what you're going to get when you listen to my podcast, is I really go way off the mark. It's what happens when you have a short attention span. But let's take a look at the overall for Pitt in Western Michigan. Pitt dominated with 23 first downs. The Western Michigan's 10. Despite playing a third string and having a very conservative play calling system, Pitt passed for more yards, had a better completion percentage. And, of course, one of the big stats, Pitt ran for 238 yards on the ground, which was a big thing because Pitt was going to need to be able to run the ball and control the clock, which they did. And, of course, play defense. They did lose one fumble. But they picked off, it cost 3 turnovers. I mean, they were really on the ball this time. But if we look at the rushing stats, let's see here. Izzy Abakanana, he ran for 133 yards on 31 carries with a touchdown. It wasn't looking good for him in the beginning because they were teeing off on him, but eventually things opened up because they had to open up the offense somehow because, you know, eventually they did let, you know, Yarnell throw the ball because they had no choice in that matter because Western Michigan was starting to get in the end zone. Well, not really. I mean, Pitt was up at one point 20-6, and then Western Michigan just woke up and scored. And I guess Pitt kind of realized, oh shit, they scored. We got like start getting in the end zone. Oh, and of course ESPN's gonna play the clip. Yeah, Pitt bit pretty bad on that one. And let me turn the sound off again because this is gonna piss me off. But you know, Pitt eventually woke up and realized, okay, we're gonna have to, you know, we're gonna have to throw the ball here. And that opened up the run a little bit. And Vincent Davis, who hasn't seen much time, 83 yards, 11 carries. Good for Vincent. Sebo Flamister, 28 yards on 4 carries. I mean, can't go wrong there. I mean, you know, you're without Ronnie Hammond, and that's that. Jerry Wayne had 3 catches for 94 yards, but he's injured. Not sure if he's going to be playing for Rhode Island. I mean, Gavin Bartholomew, 1 catch, 37 yards. Kanata had 3 catches for 35 yards and a touchdown. Bob Beans had 1 catch for 18. I mean, overall, the receivers did their job. You know, their number wasn't called much. But when they did, they did it. Obviously, there's still some woes on special teams with, you know, Ben Sauls was 2-for-3 from field goal range. At least, you know, he was 4-for-4 extra points. Our punting, I'm kind of concerned about our punting, but, you know. But as far as the, as far as the rest of the team goes, the injury bug has been biting them. Dalen Hayes is supposedly out for the year, and there's a lot more than that. You know, Pat's pretty mum on injuries, but the Dalen Hayes one, you know, he's missing the season, which really sucks. I mean, Pitt was deep on defense, and now they're thin right now. Offensively, it's been pretty bad as well. But for looking at him, you know, Keon Slovis was out. That looks like he'll be cleared to play against Rhode Island. Nick Patty's ankle injury seems to be more long-term. Jerry Wayne obviously may not be back for Rhode Island. There's a possibility for that. Ronnie Hammond's been out. And, you know, he ankle sprain there, but then you had Owen Drexel, Nate Temple, Habuk Baldonado, Desmond Alexander, Devin Danielson, Marquise Williams left the game, and of course Dalen Hayes. So Pitt's being bit by injury bug, and some people are blaming strength and conditioning. I'm not sure if you can just blame strength and conditioning for these things. I think it's just, you know, Pitt last year, one thing that really helped Pitt last year was the fact they didn't have, they weren't bit by, you know, injuries so much. You know, Kenny Pickett was healthy the entire year. They had Jordan Addison pretty much. The only person they really missed was Taysier Mack. I mean, he was hurt, but luckily we still had a Blitnikoff winner, and of course we had Jaron Wayne, and of course we had Gavin Bartholomew. We had guys who can make. You know, we were pretty much deep on offense. And on top of that, we had two really good running backs. I think I've pretty much narrowed all that down. So it's, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen. But obviously this Rhode Island game, let's hope we treat this as more of a getting these guys rested. I mean, obviously we want to put these guys out early and so we can rest the players. And of course, Rhode Island's a noon kickoff. How fun. On the ACC network. Then they got Georgia Tech the next week. In that case, I hope. You know, Pitt has a chance to be 4-1. And then they got a pretty tough schedule ahead of them. They got, they got Virginia Tech after that, and then they have 2 weeks off for Louisville. They have two, of course, they're at Louisville with two road games. But Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, they're at home. But with Keaton out, if he's out, I mean, if he does get hurt, I do feel a lot better about the quarterback situation. I mean, no offense to Nick Patty, but I'd rather see Nate Yornell in there than him. Despite the conservative play calling, it seemed like he was just more prepared. He knew what he was doing. I don't have my picks in front of me. Let's see here. Did I even save my picks? Let me see here. Notepad. Let's see. Did I save them? 9-10. I might have saved them. Let me see. I probably didn't. I'm not going back to my podcast to listen to them, but I'm sure they're pretty bad, to say the least. I didn't save them. But I remember I did have Louisville covering against Florida State. They lost 35-31. I think I had a game going under two, I remember. That was a disaster as well. It turned to a high-scoring game. Clemson hammered Louisiana Tech. I'm not sure what the spread on that game was, but they won by 28. I think the spread was 28. I'm not going back to listen to it. Texas A&M defeated Miami. This was a surprising one because I thought Miami would come. You know, this was supposed to be the rise of the U with Tyler Van Dyke. A&M was, you know, and Miami lost. In fact, Texas A&M was a -6 for this game, which is kind of not surprising. No, I guess Vegas knew what they were doing because not only did A&M win, but they covered. Yeah, gotta love Vegas. NC State defeated Texas Tech. I think I had Texas Tech winning that, or at least covering. I'm not sure what the spread on that game was. Let me see. Texas Tech, NC State. NC State was a -10.5, and they covered. Yeah, I hope nobody took my gambling advice, because holy shit. Yeah, same with Wake Forest. I know I had Wake covering for sure. And they barely beat Liberty, 37-36. I thought Sam Hartman would go out. Well, he looked like he had a good game, but yep. Ole Miss destroyed Georgia Tech, which was a no-brainer. In fact, what with Ole Miss GT betting line? Rebels were a 17-point favorite. Not a surprise there. The Hokies beat Wofford 27-7. Syracuse defeated Purdue 32-29. I watched that game. Syracuse, that's a big win for them. They may cause some noise. Because, you know, as Pitt fans, we always penciled Syracuse as a win. And luckily we get them at home this year, but that's going to be a tough one. If Syracuse beats Virginia, because UVA is a total mess right now. They can beat them and Wagner. They may end up ranked going into playing NC State. So that's looking really good. Virginia and Old Dominion. UVA beat Old Dominion 16-14. Not again, don't schedule Old Dominion, but Virginia got away with that one. Duke defeats North Carolina A&T 49-20. Not sure what to think of Duke right now, but they're 3-0. Boston College finally gets the W column. They beat Maine 38-17. Now, for the rest of the top 25, Georgia obviously hammered South Carolina. Ohio State destroyed Toledo. UConn lost to Michigan 59-0. So, yeah, it wasn't basketball. I think I had Nebraska covering against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma just destroyed Nebraska. Or maybe I had Oklahoma covering. I'm not sure. But either way, whatever. USC defeats Fresno State. I watched that game and I don't know, but USC just has a high-powered offense. Well, you know, Fresno was moving the ball. It's just, I think USC's weakness is obviously their defense. That's going to be an Achilles heel for them. Oklahoma State defeats Arkansas Pine Bluff. So I'm going through the rest of these. I have Michigan State that being Washington convincingly in Wazoo with Indiana transfer Michael Penix. They went 39-28. I have BYU being Oregon, and somehow Oregon won that one, 41-20. That was a shocker to me. I mean, yeah, this was a weird, this is why I don't gamble. Let's see, the rest of these picks. No. Penn State defeated Auburn 41-12. And as you all know, Penn State's in the top 15 now with that win. I had Penn State. That was one game I had Penn State, you know, I had them covering because I just thought Auburn sucked. And they did. They were pretty bad. Now, moving on from college football, NFL happened. The Steelers lost to the Patriots. Yeah, I kind of forgot that the collective IQ of Steelers fans on Twitter is pretty bad. As I made a sarcastic joke, and I guess the person got upset about it. But I did see people, I guess they're supposedly tweeting a Bill Cowher quote about Mitch Trubisky. And I there was one person giving Cowher credit for Mike Tomczak. And Bill Cowher had a roster where he should have been to the Super Bowl at least three times. And his issue is quarterback. I mean, Neil wasn't bad. Neil got us the two AFC title games. We sure went to two Super Bowls. I don't know how we lost to the Chargers, but we did. We almost lost to the Colts. I mean, we did win that game, but we almost lost. I mean, we underperformed in those games. And then, O'Donnell left after 95 season. We were going to go with Jim Miller. That didn't work out. We gave Cordell a chance, and that was pretty bad. And then we ended up with Mike Tomczak. Tomczak was a career backup, and pretty much, if you watched him play that year in 1996, you could see why he was a backup. That he pretty much is a backup. And people always argue that Cowher was left. You know, Cowher left Tomczak a really good roster, which he did. Let's be honest. He did. I mean, he left them Ben, Polamalu, and whatnot. But Cowher had, Cowher had a really good defense. He was left. A really good offensive line on top of that. I mean, Chuck Noll left Bill Cowher some, a lot of really good players. I mean, he left them Greg Lloyd and Rod Woodson, Carnell Lake for crying out loud. Darmani Dawson, John Jackson. I mean, he left them a really good roster that he could build around. So, I mean, let's be honest. But watching the game itself, offensively, they just don't look great at all. I mean, they don't seem to be challenging the other team's defense. I mean, they're not throwing the ball downfield. I mean, it's like they're afraid to do anything. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's been in the league for Lord knows how long. I mean, if you're afraid of him throwing downfield or whatnot, then probably you should exercise some other options. I don't know. That's just me. But on the plus side, everybody else in the AFC North lost. That's a good sign. I mean, the defense did all they could. Towards the end, though, they just couldn't get off the field. Defense worn down. I mean, it happens. And plus, they were playing without one of their best players. But, yeah, that's just that. I mean, there's not much else to talk about. Let's not forget about we can't forget about Kebron Hayes, about what he did. I guess, middle of the play, he was pulling out sunflower seeds. And I think what's kind of odd is they're making this whole Pirates issue about him now. when really, you know, the Pirates have been hot garbage now for a few years now. And, you know, what he did was not, it's not the reason why the Pirates are trash right now. I mean, it's like, you know, it's almost like you're working, it's almost like you're working for a failing company or saying, oh yeah, make sure you're clocking into your time expense report on time. I don't know, whatever. I'm not going to spend too much energy on it, but I just thought that was, you know, but oh well. Anyways, guys, I'm done here. You guys have a great week. Find a podcast later this week. Hell to Pit. Talk to you later.